Sister Mary Joseph Praise had come to Missing Hospital from India 7 years before our birth. She and Sister Anjali were the first novitiates of the Carmelite Order of Madras to also go through the arduous nursing diploma course at the Government General Hospital, Madras. On graduation day, my mother and Anjali received their nursing pins and that evening took their final vows of poverty, celibacy, and obedience. Instead of answering to probationer in the hospital and novitiate in the convent, they could now be addressed in both places as sister. The aged and saintly abbess, Shesi Jivarugis, affectionately called Saintly Amma, had wasted no time in giving the two young nurse nuns her blessing and her surprising assignment, Africa. On the day they were to sail, all the novitiates rode from the convent in a caravan of cycle rickshaws to the harbour to send off their two sisters. In my mind's eye, I can see the novitiates lining the quay, chattering and trembling with excitement and emotion, their white habits flapping in the breeze, the seagulls hopping around their sandaled feet. I have so often wondered what went through my mother's mind as she and Sister Anjali, both just 19 years old, took their last steps on Indian soil and boarded the Kalangute. She would have heard stifled sobs and "God be with you" follow her up the gangway. Was she fearful? Did she have second thoughts? Once before, when she entered the convent, she'd torn herself away from her biological family in Cochin forever and moved to Madras, which was a day and a night's train ride from her home. As far as her parents were concerned, it might just as well have been halfway across the world, for they would never see her again. And now, after 3 years in Madras, she was tearing herself away from the family of her faith, this time to cross an ocean. Once again, there was no going back. A few years before sitting down to write this, I travelled to Madras in search of my mother's story. In the archived papers of the Carmelites, I found nothing of hers. But I did find Saintly Amma's diaries in which the abbess recorded the passing days. When the Kalangute slipped its mooring, Saintly Amma raised her hand like a traffic policeman, and using my sermon voice, which I am told belies my age, intoned the words, "Leave your land for my sake," because Genesis was her favorite book. Saintly Amma had given this mission great thought. True, India had unfathomable needs. But that would never change and was no excuse. The two young nuns, her brightest and fairest, were to be the torchbearers, Indians carrying Christ's love to darkest Africa. That was her grand ambition. In her papers, she reveals her thinking. Just as the English missionaries discovered when they came to India, there was no better way to carry Christ's love than through stoops and poultices, liniments and dressings, cleansing and comfort. What better ministry than the ministry of healing? Her two young nuns would cross the ocean, and then the Madras discalced Carmelite mission to Africa would begin. As the good abbess watched the two waving figures on the ship's rail recede to white dots, she felt a twinge of apprehension. What if, by their blind obedience to her grand scheme, they were being condemned to a horrible fate? "The English missionaries have the almighty empire behind them. But what of my girls?" She wrote that the seagulls' shrill quarrelling and the splatter of bird excreta had marred the grand send-off she had envisioned. She was distracted by the overpowering scent of rotten fish and rotted wood and by the bare-chested stevedores whose betel-nut-stained mouths drooled bloody lechery at the sight of her brood of virgins.
"Father, we consign our sisters to you for safekeeping," Saintly Amma said, putting it on his shoulders.
She stopped waving, and her hands found shelter in her sleeves.
"We beseech you for mercy and for your protection in this outreach of the discalced Carmelites."
It was 1947, and the British were finally leaving India. The Quit India movement had made the impossible come about. Saintly Amma slowly let the air out of her lungs. It was a new world, and bold action was called for, or so she believed. The black and red floating packet of misery that called itself a ship steamed across the Indian Ocean toward its destination, Aden. In its hold, the Kalangute carried crate upon crate of spun cotton, rice, silk, Godrej lockers, Tata filing cabinets, as well as 31 Royal Enfield Bullet motorcycles, the engines wrapped in oilcloth. The ship wasn't meant to carry passengers, but the Greek captain did just that by housing paying guests. There were many who would travel on a cargo ship to save on passage, and he was there to oblige by skimping on crew. So on this trip, he carried 2 Madras nuns, 3 Cochin Jews, a Gujarati family, 3 suspicious-looking Malays, and a few Europeans, including 2 French sailors rejoining their ship in Aden. The Kalangute had a vast expanse of deck, more land than one ever expected at sea. At one end, like a gnat on an elephant's backside, sat the 3-story superstructure which housed the crew and passengers, the top floor of which was the bridge. My mother, Sister Mary Joseph Braise, was a Malayali from Cochin, in the state of Kerala. Malayali Christians traced their faith back to St. Thomas's arrival in India from Damascus in AD 52. Doubting Thomas built his first churches in Kerala well before St. Peter got to Rome. My mother was God-fearing and church-going. In high school, she came under the influence of a charismatic Carmelite nun who worked with the poor. My mother's hometown is a city of 5 islands set like jewels on a ring facing the Arabian Sea. Spice traders have sailed to Cochin for centuries for cardamom and cloves, including a certain Vasco da Gama in 1498. The Portuguese clawed out a colonial seat in Goa, torturing the Hindu population into Catholic converts. Catholic priests and nuns eventually reached Kerala, as if they didn't know that St. Thomas had brought Christ's uncorrupted vision to Kerala 1,000 years before them. To her parents' chagrin, my mother became a Carmelite nun, abandoning the ancient Syrian Christian tradition of St. Thomas to embrace, in her parents' view, this Johnny-come-lately Pope-worshipping sect. They couldn't have been more disappointed had she become a Muslim or a Hindu. It was a good thing her parents didn't know that she was also a nurse, which to them would mean that she soiled her hands like an untouchable.